Hey everyone. So today I'm going to be making a sleep aid. And I've made lots of these and people really like them, so I figured I'd make another one. But I usually don't have like a topic that I talk about in them. But today I figured I would make a sleep aid for gym bros because I haven't seen one and I can ramble about the gym and exercising and nutrition forever, basically. So I figured I'd make one since I'm kind of bored and I'm in the mood to talk anyways. And I don't know, maybe the right person will find this and it'll be like talking to the gym buddy you've always wished you could have. So anyways, in true gym bro fashion, I'm drinking whey protein. I've already shaken it. I'm not going to shake it now. That would be so annoying. It's like chocolate something or the other flavor. I don't drink whey every day. I drink it most days. But I'll really only drink it if I need the extra protein, because I'd rather just eat food and get the protein, because I'm also on a cut, and so I think that was my stomach. I'm also on a cut, and so one scoop of whey protein is like 130 calories. It also has like 25 grams of protein, but like if I have 150 calories left, I would rather eat food if I don't have that much protein to make up. But if I'm really behind on my protein, like I am today, then I'll just drink whey so I can get to the protein amount that I need. But yeah, I don't drink it every day. I drink it most days. I got this new one. It's like chocolate something or the other. It's pretty good. Yeah, I just add water and a little bit of milk. I've been drinking this milk called Fairlife milk. I don't know if it's in America, but it is in Canada. And it has less sugar, first of all. And second of all, a cup of like regular 2% milk has like 8 grams of protein, but one cup of Fairlife milk has 14 grams of protein. I didn't put a cup of milk in my whey. I'm just saying it has more protein. It actually tastes good, and I think it's lactose free, but I'm not sure. But anyways, that's the milk I've been drinking. But yeah, that was... I didn't need to talk about whey protein for that long, but it's pretty good. This one I'm drinking is pretty good. The other day I saw this video of this guy, and he was deadlifting. First of all, he was deadlifting in his living room on his shiny wooden floor with all of his, like, his TV and his glass cases and, like, you know, those cases where people put, like, their fine china. Like, he had that in his living room, too. And he was just deadlifting on his floor. And so I was watching it, and I was obviously very worried because I figured when he put the weight back down, everything would just fall over. But it didn't, because he didn't slam the weight down. But anyways, it was crazy because he was just deadlifting on his shiny floor. And he was just wearing socks. And I just, me personally, I don't have an agenda against people who lift in socks, but I just can't do it. I don't know why, but I just can't, like, stabilize myself. Like, I'm going to be slipping and sliding all over the place if I lift in socks. I understand the rationale behind it. Like, you don't want to wear shoes, but I would just rather lift barefoot. And I do lift barefoot. Obviously, you can't lift barefoot at the gym. But you can get barefoot shoes and they look silly, but it doesn't matter because they're great. But yeah, I can't lift in socks. I lift barefoot, but I can't do socks. And if I'm in the gym, I'll just wear shoes. Like I'll just wear Converse. But maybe when gyms open up again, and I don't know when, maybe when they open up again, I'll get like barefoot shoes or something, because I do like lifting barefoot. But anyways, the point I was trying to make about this guy lifting in his living room is that he was lifting, like, I think it was like 5-something or 4-something. And so he was training at home, so he had a barbell, but he had these super tiny plates. He was like, you know when you're at the gym and there's this one guy who takes all like the 5-pound plates and puts it on his barbell and makes like an 100-pound barbell out of 5-pound plates? It was like that. Like, he had the tiniest little plates, which I understand because he's training at home and plates are impossible to find, and you know, he's still trying to progress. He doesn't want to not deadlift at all just because he's at home. But anyways, it was funny because he was lifting with these super tiny plates. But he did it. Like, he did the lift. He had great form. But the interesting part was that his barbell was basically on the floor because of how small his plates were. And so he was lifting from, like, an insane deficit because, like I said, the bar was basically on the floor. And so I'm sure when he goes back to the real gym, he can probably lift a lot more than that 4-something or that 500, because he won't be lifting from such a deficit at the gym. But I was watching it, and I was kind of like, well, what's the point? Like, what's the point of doing a conventional deadlift from that much of a deficit? Like, there's nothing wrong with deficit deadlifts. They're great. I don't do them, but I understand the purpose behind them. Like, you can get a greater range of motion when you're doing a deficit deadlift. But, like, after a certain point, I feel like the deficit becomes unreasonable. Like, if your barbell is on the ground, I feel like that's an unreasonable deficit. I feel like you're much better off doing a Romanian deadlift because the bar doesn't have to touch the ground, right? So it doesn't matter how small your plates are. I mean, I don't know if this guy's gonna Romanian deadlift 500 pounds, but I feel like that would make more sense given his circumstances, if that makes sense. Like, that's what I've been doing. I have a barbell, but I have super tiny plates since plates are impossible to find. And so I've been doing Romanian deadlifts. That way I don't need to literally touch the floor when I'm trying to do like a conventional deadlift or a sumo deadlift or something. I've just been doing Romanian deadlifts. I don't know, I feel like that makes the most sense. It doesn't matter. It's his life. It's his deadlift. He can conventional deadlift if he wants, and he's incredibly strong. And it was a great lift. I was just kind of like, okay, well, what's the point? But anyways, yeah, I saw that the other day. One thing I've been doing a lot at home is single leg deadlifts, because I used to, like, when I was going to the gym — the gyms have been closed for like months here, by the way — but when I was going to the gym on my first lower body day, because I do an upper lower split, so I do like upper A, lower A, rest, upper B, lower B, rest. So on my first lower body day, I would do sumo deadlifts. Then on my second lower body day, I would do Romanian deadlifts. But because I can't sumo deadlift at home, I've been doing Romanian deadlifts on my first lower body day. Then on my second lower body days, I've been doing single leg Romanian deadlifts, which I've really been enjoying. They feel really good. It's kind of a difficult movement pattern at first. Like, you really have to practice it to make sure you're doing it with good form. Like, making sure your back is staying straight and you're not like opening up at the hip that's off the ground. But once you get the form right, I really like it. And I feel like when I go back to the gym, I'm going to keep doing them. I don't know, I really like them. And also, I'm like crazy about yoga. Like, I've been doing yoga for, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 years now. And that hip hinge movement, like you do with a Romanian deadlift, or especially a single leg deadlift, like that hip hinge with one leg, is a movement we do a lot of in yoga. And so I feel like it's useful for me to keep doing that movement, because it kind of carries over to my yoga practice, you know what I mean? Which is also why I like to do an upper and lower split, because if I do like, I don't know, push-pull legs or like a bro split, I don't have enough days in the week to focus on my yoga practice. But if I lift 4 days a week, I have 3 days where I can do yoga, and I don't do yoga all 3 days. I do yoga 2 days, And I have one day that's like a cardio day. But anyways, that's why I like the upper-lower split. My only beef with the upper-lower split is that upper body day takes forever. Like, it takes all day. And there's a way around it. Like, you can push other muscle groups to different days. Like, you can do your back work on leg day or on that third day, which is kind of your rest day. You could do, like, arm stuff. You could do, like, your calf raises on those days. But upper body day takes so long, because think about it. You have to do your shoulders, chest, back, your arms. If you do trap work, you gotta do your traps. You gotta find some day to do your core. Like, it can get to be, like, a crazy amount of volume. Whereas on lower body day, you only have to focus on your quads, your glutes, your hamstrings, if you even want to focus on your glutes. You just have to do your quads, hamstrings, and your calves, basically. So that's the only thing with upper body day. You have to be smart about how you program it so that you're not living in the gym on upper body day. Because if you're trying to do, you know, like the 6 to 12 sets per week, it's like around 12 sets per week for your major muscle groups, and probably like 6 sets for like your biceps and your triceps or whatever, that gets to be a lot of volume if you don't program it properly. So that's the only thing with upper body day that is like a drawback. But I don't know, I really like it. I prefer it to a like a push-pull legs, because I feel like it's more balanced. Because if you do upper lower rest, you do 2 upper body days a week and 2 lower body days a week. But if you're doing push-pull legs, you're doing basically 2 upper body days, which kind of doesn't matter, because on the first day you're working your push muscles, and on your pull day you're working your pull muscles. So it's not like 2 full upper body days a week. But you are doing your upper body twice, doing your legs once. So in 1 week, like if you do push-pull legs rest, so in that 8 days or whatever, you've done 4 upper body days but only 2 lower body days. And it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't matter how often you hit each muscle group, as long as the total amount of volume is equated at the end. So it doesn't matter. But for me personally, I just like having 2 upper body, 2 lower body. Like, I just like having it equal like that. And I don't know, I've never really been a fan of push pull legs. Like, push day is always fine, but on your push movements, it's not like the pulling muscles don't work at all. And then on pull day, like, I don't know, I've never been able to maybe recover from my push day for my pull day to feel good. I don't know, it just doesn't work for me. I just prefer to do like upper lower, that's just what works for me. I don't know, doesn't matter, no, that's just what I like. So for example, today is Monday. So today was my first upper body day. And it felt really good. I know tomorrow morning when I wake up, my back is going to be like destroyed, because this morning I did bent over barbell row, which is one of my favorite exercises just based on like how the exercise feels. And when I do a bent over barbell row, I do in a wide overhand grip. I like a wide grip because I'm not trying to fatigue my triceps doing a row for my back, you know what I mean? And there are other moves that I do that really hit my triceps, so I don't need to do more triceps rowing, if that makes sense. So I like to do a wide grip, and I like an overhand grip. Underhand grip is fine, doesn't matter, but I just like the overhand grip. So I did that today, that felt really good. And I also did a close grip lat pull down with my resistance bands. I'm not the biggest fan of resistance bands. They're okay. I'd rather just use a lat pull down machine, which I don't have access to because the gyms are closed. But I like them. like, I like the movement. I don't like doing them with resistance bands. But I like the close grip for my back. Wide grip is cool too, but I don't know. I just lately I've been liking close grip more than wide grip. Doesn't really matter, no. But that's just what I've been liking. So anyways, like I was saying in the beginning, I think this is my third week into my cut, and I think I've lost like 2 pounds. I'm doing it so I'm in a 250 calorie deficit a day. So I'm supposed to be losing like 0.5 pound a week. The first week I lost like 3 pounds because I was just flushing out water, obviously. And also I started intermittent fasting. I used to make fun of people who did intermittent fasting because I'm like, you're skipping breakfast. Like, okay, like who cares? But, and I know there's like some research about the health benefits and yada, yada, yada. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to live longer because I've started skipping breakfast, but I eat my first meal around 11, but I only do that so I can save my calories for the end of the day, right? Like, I'm not going to eat all my calories in the morning and then starve for dinner. I'd rather eat later in the day so that most of my calories can be around dinner time and so that I don't go to bed hungry. Like, you probably heard my stomach growling throughout this whole thing, but I'm not actually hungry. I think it's just, like, the food moving through my stomach. But anyways, that's what I've been doing. And my cut's been working pretty well. The first week I lost like 3 pounds. It was literally just water. But after that, I've been consistently losing like 0.5 pound to like 1 pound a week. I think I lost 1 pound this week, but I was very bloated last week. So it's like I've been consistently losing 0.5 pound, basically 0.5 pound a week. So yeah, that's going really well. I don't feel hungry. Because like I said, I've been eating later in the day. And also, I've been going on walks after dinner. And I've really been enjoying it. Like, I've always been a steady state cardio person. So I like to go on walks. For the physical effects, but also like the mental effects. Like, it's very calming. It's very relaxing. And it actually really helps me recover from my leg days. Like, when I, like, go to work after a leg day and just sit all day, everything hurts. Like, everything is just so tight and it hurts. But if I go on a walk, it, like, loosens up the muscles. Like, it feels good to move them. So that's what I've been doing. There was a point to me saying that. I don't remember what it was. Oh, okay. I was going to talk about steady state cardio. I do like steady state cardio. I also like HIIT cardio, but I only do HIIT once a week because I'm not like a HIIT fangirl. Like, it's okay. Like, it's fun. I enjoy doing it. But like, it didn't change my life. Like, I like it. But I think most people, how do I say this nicely? I think most people, when they do HIIT, they overestimate, first of all, how hard they're working, and they overestimate what it's going to do for them. Like, if you're really doing HIIT, like, how you're supposed to be doing it, when you're working, like, on those intervals when you're moving, you're supposed to be getting your heart rate up to, like, 80 to 90% of your maximum heart rate. You're supposed to be getting your heart rate up You're supposed to be getting your heart rate up to about 80 to 90% of your maximum heart rate. So your maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age. It's not perfect. It's an equation. Some people's max heart rate is higher. Some people's is lower. But your max heart rate is in and around 220 minus your age. So when you're doing HIIT, so let's say you're 20 years old, your max heart rate should be 200 beats per minute. So if you're doing HIIT, you should be getting your heart rate to 80 to 90% of 200 beats per minute, which most people don't do because that's incredibly hard. Like, it's hard to get your heart rate up that high because you need to push yourself very hard, and that's hard. So when most people do HIIT, they're not pushing themselves that hard. Their heart rate isn't getting up to 80 to 90% of their maximum heart rate. So most people really aren't doing HIIT cardio to begin with. People are doing like don't know, like moderate intensity cardio, moderate intensity training. So that's the first thing that you kind of have to be careful about. The second thing you have to be careful about is most people think when they do hit, everyone talks about like EPOC and the afterburn, and you're going to burn 500 million calories after you do hit, which is not true, because research shows people burn like upwards of 15% of the calories they burn during the exercise. That made no sense. So if you did a HIIT cardio session, you burned 100 calories. After your HIIT cardio session, you're going to burn 15 calories. So in that session, plus after the session, throughout the day, you burn 115 more calories. That's like two apples, like, you get what I'm trying to say. The afterburn, the EPOC, whatever, it's real, but it's not as big as most people think it is. So people just kind of have unrealistic expectations about it. I'm not against HIIT. I like it. I just wish more people would know the accurate information about it, I guess. I don't blame them. I mean, there's so much misinformation and BS on the internet about fitness and exercise. But anyways, the point is that I do like HIIT, but I only do it once a week. Because it's incredibly fatiguing and it's incredibly taxing on the body. And you have to recover. If you're a real gym bro, sorry, I'm moving around. If you're a real gym bro trying to build muscle, you should be trying to preserve your muscle, right? So you're not going to kill your muscles with HIIT cardio and kill your ability to recover with HIIT cardio, because you need your muscles to lift. So there's nothing wrong with HIIT. Just don't go crazy with it. Like, I do it once a week and that's fine. Because if I do it any more than that, I'm not going to be able to lift to my, I don't know, like my max potential. Like, my muscles are going to be so fatigued. So there's no point. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice lifting for HIIT cardio. You know what I'm saying? But if I had to choose HIIT cardio or steady state, I would choose steady state. HIIT cardio is fun, but I can do steady state every day. I can't do HIIT cardio every day. You know what I mean? So yeah, but at the same time, steady state isn't better because you're going to burn more calories with steady state. That's not true. It is true that at a certain level of intensity, your body will be using glycogen for energy, over fat, and the reverse of that is true, but that doesn't mean stay in the fat burning zone and work out with less intensity, because you're going to burn more fat than if you worked out at higher intensity. That's not true and doesn't make any sense. If you work out at a higher intensity, yeah, your body is going to burn through the glycogen stores first. But what people forget is that your body burns through glycogen very fast. So you're not going to be in that state forever, right? Eventually your body is going to start relying on fat too. So either way, your body is going to be relying on fat for energy. And if you work out at a higher intensity, you're going to burn more overall calories, which is the point for most people. Like, most people are doing cardio because it's going to burn a lot of calories. They can be in a calorie deficit and lose weight. So if you worked out at a higher intensity, the overall amount of calories you burned would be higher, and then theoretically you could lose more weight because you would theoretically be in more of a calorie deficit. Whereas if you stay in that fat burning zone, which is a little bit like less intensity, you're gonna burn overall less calories. Does that make sense? So just work out at a higher intensity, burn more calories, be in a bigger caloric deficit, and lose more weight, right? It makes sense when you explain it, but most people don't think of it that way. But anyway, so the reason I do steady state cardio isn't because it burns more calories than HIIT, or because it's better than HIIT, or it's worse, or whatever. They're both cardio, so it doesn't matter. Pick the type of cardio you will actually do. The best type of exercise is the exercise you're going to commit to. I like steady state, so I do that every day. I like HIIT, but I do it once a week. Doesn't really matter, it's what works for me. So just pick something and do it. But anyways, back to walking. I've been enjoying walking. I've been doing it basically every day. I don't come nuts. I walk for like 30 minutes. I guess I walk briskly. Like, I'm not just strolling. Like, I'm walking with a purpose, I guess. Like, I do get my heart rate up. So, like, I am doing a little bit of work, but I'm not, like, walking as fast or as hard as I physically can. So it's still relaxing. Like, I still feel like I get those mental benefits from going on a walk. I don't know. I just enjoy it. I don't run. I hate running. I'd much rather walk. And it's just my preferred form of steady state cardio. I don't know. You can walk, you can swim, you can ride a bike. It doesn't matter. Just get your cardio in. It's good for your heart. Even if you're a gym bro, you should still do your cardio. Yeah, your heart rate goes up when you lift, but there's a difference between, you know, your heart rate increasing when you're strength training and you actually doing cardio. So do your cardio. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to lose muscle just because you went on a walk or because you went on the elliptical. If you're a gym bro, you still need to do your cardio. So I'm almost done this way. So the last thing I'll say is that tomorrow's my leg day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow is lower body day A. So I'm going to back squat, Romanian deadlift. Then I'm going to do some kind of lunge. I'm going to reverse lunge. I wrote down, I remember. I'm going to reverse lunge. Then I'll do dumbbell hamstring curl. The way I like to do it is I like to do compound, isolation, and that's like the base of my leg day. So I'll start with a compound. I always start with squats. I'm going to start with squats. That's my first compound movement. Then I do a deadlift. So tomorrow I'm going to do a barbell Romanian deadlift. That's my second compound movement that recruits, you know, my hamstrings, whereas squats are a compound movement, so it's going to recruit everywhere, but I think of that as a like a quad dominant movement for me anyways. And then I do the deadlifts as a compound movement that's primarily going to target my hamstrings. Then I move on and I do more of an isolation move. I mean, a lunge isn't an isolation move. If I was at the gym, I'd like leg press or do a leg extension or something. But then I do a second movement for my quads. So lately I've been either doing a lunge or a Bulgarian split squat, which is like a variation on a lunge. But tomorrow I'm going to reverse lunge. And then I do a second movement that's primarily going to hit my hamstrings. So tomorrow I'm going to do dumbbell hamstring curl, which I really like that movement. The hardest part of a dumbbell hamstring curl is getting your feet around the dumbbells. But that's what I've been doing and I really like it. And so then the fifth movement that I'll do will be some kind of hip thrust. Obviously, I didn't get the butt that I have from squatting. I'm just kidding. Squats are great for your entire legs, but I do like to hip thrust. Tomorrow, I'm going to do a barbell hip thrust. And then finally, I end off my leg day with calf raises. I like to stand and do them, like hold dumbbells and do calf raises. You can sit down. It doesn't matter. I just like to stand, so that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And I'm one of those psychopaths who lifts at 5 in the morning. I get up at like 4:30 and I start lifting by 5. I'm done by 6:30, then I go to work, come home, and, you know, attend to whatever else I need to do. Because lifting in the evening is cool, but I'm a very busy person and I get really busy in the evening. I would rather lift at a time where I can devote, of course someone's banging plates in the background, I would rather lift at a time where I can devote 100% of my energy and focus, and for me that's 5 in the morning. So yeah, I'm gonna get my 5 a.m. lower body pump on tomorrow. I'm done my way, so I'm gonna end this here. If you listened this far, thank you. If you enjoyed it, let me know. Maybe I'll make another one talking about something else. I really enjoy rambling about this stuff. I have a few like fitness friends, but I don't have any gym bro friends, like people who like are going really hard in the paint at 5 a.m. like I am. So if you enjoyed it, let me know. I might make another one. Hopefully this was relaxing. And yeah, good night.